Hi everybody and welcome to SCL, the Subject to Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnumphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, I hope everybody's had a fantastic weekend. It's Sunday night here in the UK. As many of you will know, I live in Gosport, which is in Hampshire next to Portsmouth. If you look on a map of the UK, you're right down to the bottom. There's a little island there called the Isle of Wight, and just come up a little bit and look for Portsmouth in Gosport. It's just to the west or the left, and you see it sort of nestled there between Portsmouth and Southampton. We've been having most unseasonably fine weather, really, really warm weather. It's got up to 26, 27 degrees in parts of the country, which is hotter than it was in our summer. So yeah, I mean, today I've been out to the car boots as usual. Been around, went over to Gunwolf Keys in Portsmouth, have a look around the shops, took the ferry across, which was nice, and it was unbelievable, really, really nice weather, really sunny and hot. And in fact, this evening I did a little sort of a mini safari around the garden looking for spiders, couldn't find any, but when Suzanne was hanging out the washing to dry, she found some, and I've started to test out this wide-angle lens converter thing. I can't remember if I talked about these last week. You may remember that I asked a question from a listener about how could you go super wide. For example, I've got an 18-55 Canon lens, which is pretty wide, but if you want to go super wide, then normally you'd pick up something like a 10-22 or 10-20 Canon or Tamron or Sigma or Nikon or Sony, whatever your equivalent is, on a crop sensor camera to give you an incredible field of view, if you like, an angle of view. But they're very expensive, you know, you're talking sort of £300. And there's all sorts of other solutions on the market, from simple lenses to slightly more complicated ones. And what I picked up off eBay for, I think it was for about £12 second hand, was a pair of these larger lenses. Normally you fit them to video cameras. One of them was a wide angle converter, one was a telephoto converter. And I went out and as part of a mini project that I'll talk about in the second half of the podcast, I tested the 2x teleconverter. And basically they're a big chunky, well, they're not that big, they're about an inch to an inch and a half sort of long, if you like, and then obviously the width of the lens, and you screw them onto the filter element of your lens. And what I found was, so far, the 2x teleconverter is a bit naff. Doesn't really work. Makes everything go very soft, and the lens, the 55-250 I've got, just won't focus when you add it on, because I guess there's not enough light coming in. But the wide-angle converter seemed to work very nicely. Vignetting, if you have the lens at 18mm, but it's a 0.45 converter. So if we say it's a half, so that means at 18 it'd be trying to do it at 9mm. So you're actually getting to see the edges of the lens, like, actually in the photographs. But if you adjust your main lens to sort of 20mm, then the vignetting kind of goes away. And it seemed to work. I mean, obviously you get loads of barrel distortion with everything going all curvy at the edges. But that's what happens when you use wide-angle lenses, and the buildings seem to lean away and all this sort of stuff. But that seemed to work fine. But it does have another feature, like all of these sort of things, where you can unscrew the back of the wide-angle converter, and that back bit is a macro lens. So I screwed that onto the front of my 18-55 and went out. Well, as Suzanne pointed out, a couple of spiders, went out and took some shots with them. I haven't processed them through Picasa 3 yet, but I've got them on my computer and they seem fairly sharp. And the beauty of having them on the 18-55, rather than using my normal setup, which is to use an M42 converter, a couple of extension tubes, and then my 135mm Helios 2.8, that is obviously manual focus, and you've also got to turn the aperture ring as well, backwards and forwards. Well, because I'm using an EF lens, you know, the proper lens of my Canon with the converter on the front, I still have autofocus, and I still have auto aperture. So when I'm trying to focus, looking through, or the camera's trying to focus, and I'm looking through the viewfinder, I'm getting the full bright f3.5, if you like, view, or I can stop it down to f5.6, or whatever, but I'm getting the full, the maximum aperture of the camera, and it's only when I press the shutter, excuse me, that the camera then automatically stops down the shutter to the what I've selected, because I tend to run in aperture priority mode, and obviously with flash on as well, and then it takes the picture. So that made it a lot easier to shoot at like f16, to get a more respectable depth of field. My initial findings by having a quick look is that probably the optical quality isn't as sharp as when I'm using my 135mm with the extension tubes and the M42 converter. But the difference is this thing is very, very small, and I can fit it easily into my LowPro Photo Runner backpack. Over the shoulder bag. So if by having this lens with me, it means that if I fancy doing some macro, I can. Whereas normally, if I'm using that particular bag, I wouldn't have the 135mm 2.8 with me anyway, because it doesn't fit in there along with these other two lenses. So, you know, as an accessory, it could well be quite useful indeed. The proof will be in whether the wide-angle bit of it is any good as well, though. So, you know, watch this space as I do some more testing of the whole wide-angle thing to see if it's worth doing. Now, what I thought I'd do for the second half of the podcast is just talk about a sort of mini project I did earlier on in the week. But before that, this will be, I think it's going to be our last mention of GoToMeeting for a while anyway. This is the end of this particular run of a sponsorship. And if you don't know by now, GoToMeeting is a software solution that enables you to have video conferencing calls with clients or colleagues or potential customers all across the world, with high definition video conference calling, where not only can they see you can see them, but they can also see what's on your desktop. So when you're trying to pitch a new product or a new idea or a new service to a customer, they can see exactly what you're talking about on your screen. When you're doing a conference call with your colleagues, you can show them the sales figures, the plans, the agendas, and it's all there. It's very, very productive, because people who are involved, you know, they're not sitting there reading the newspaper or playing with their mobile phones. They're actually there. And when you're using the video conferencing, you can see what they're doing anyway. You save time and you save money, because there's no traveling to and from these conference calls. You can set them up in a matter of minutes. It's a very reasonable subscription, but you don't have to pay anything up front. You can try it free. Visit the URL gotomeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button and enter the promo code PODCAST. So visit the URL gotomeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button and enter the promo code PODCAST. And that will give you 30 days free to try out the service. And I'm sure if your company at the moment just does ordinary conference calls, you'll find that the video conference calls that GoToMeeting provide are much, much better. So as I said earlier, what I wanted to talk about was a mini project I did earlier on in the week, and I've talked about my ongoing 2011 projects that have kind of been stuttering along for the whole of this year, and I'm very aware that we're into sort of the downhill section, aren't we? We're into autumn now, and there's 3 months to go to Christmas, and the new year, and the cut-off, and I know it's only really a calendar cut-off and the project could continue, but I would like to, you know, put a lid on especially the Around Gosport project. And I've got a shot list which I've made up and which I keep on my mobile phone, on my Android phone, and I use a program called Springpad, which, if you haven't tried it already, is really good. Imagine lots and lots of to-do lists that you can have in different folders. So you can have a to-do list for personal, work, photography, business, all this sort of stuff in their own little folders, and they're easy to get at. But not only can you have to-do lists, you can have notes, you can have media files, all this sort of stuff. I mean, it's free, check it out. I believe it's on the iPhone as well as the Android marketplace. Anyway, though, one of the problems I have is always deciding what to shoot, and by having a shot list, as soon as I can have some spare time, I can look at the shot list and say, right, okay, I'll jump in the car and I'll go down and I'll take some photographs of this particular area. And then I think I was having my hair cut the other week, and I was having a chat, and wouldn't you know it, you know, I've had my haircut done in the same place for the last probably 25 years. And it's a bit random when you go in, who's going to cut your hair. There's a group of sort of about four barbers who you kind of, I don't make appointments, I just turn up, and then whoever's free, I'll sit down and have my hair cut. And turns out this guy who I've, you know, been into this hairdresser's for the last 25 years is actually a photographer too, amateur, but he likes taking macro photographs in his garden. And I think I said, what camera do you use? He says, oh, I've got a Nikon D3. I was like, oh my gosh. And he's got some really nice Nikon macro lenses as well. But anyway, one of the things I've brought up is the fact that I thought maybe a little project to get me into this Gosport project, photos taken around Gosport, was to take pictures of the pubs in Gosport that I've drunk in that have shut down over the last few years. And I think Gosport was quite famous for having, well, infamous is probably a better word, for having an incredible number of pubs. I mean, it still has quite a lot of pubs, but I think per square mile, yeah, it was one of the highest in the country. I don't know why that is, maybe because there was lots of military here. But what's happened is, over the last few years in the UK, lots of pubs, public houses have been shutting down. If you know what, I mean, I guess we take them for granted in the UK, but a public house is basically, it is a, it's not like a cafe, because they don't tend to, well, they do serve food now, but they never used to serve food. Imagine somebody's house that had been knocked through, so there was a lot of space in it with a bar in it, and you go in and you drink and you play darts, play pool, but they don't tend to be huge things. It's not like a nightclub or anything like that. It's a bit like a cafe that doesn't serve food, kind of. I guess if you've never been into a pub, it might be, a bar, but very much like a bar, but a little bit more homely than a bar. And they tend to be in, they tend to be in areas that, not like town, they never used to be like in a town centre. There will be pubs in a town centre, but the pubs tended to be there before the town centres kind of grew up. You know, the pub would be in the village. Whereas now, lots of the modern pubs are in town centres. They're a lot bigger, and they're basically more like bars, because pub is short for public house. So anyway, there was lots of these things, and we used to go drinking in Gosport quite regularly. But over the last few years, there's been a lot of economic pressure on pubs through various taxing increases. Beer and lager and spirits have become more expensive, and so conversely, the beer and the lager and the spirits you buy at supermarkets has become incredibly cheap. So it's a lot cheaper to stay at home and have a beer and have a drink. Also, generally, you know, we've had the recession over the last few years, and so people have got less money to go out and about. But probably one of the biggest things that has affected pub trade has been the ban on smoking, and the fact you can't smoke inside pubs anymore. So I guess, you know, if you go, one of the reasons, I mean, I don't smoke anymore. I gave up a couple of years ago. But one of the great joys was going to the pub, having a beer and having a cigarette. And now, you know, you've got to stand outside. And some pubs have reacted to this and they have heated areas outside and this sort of stuff. But lots of them, because of physically where they are, they haven't got anywhere where you can go outside. And I think that might be one of the reasons why lot less people are visiting pubs, because you can sit at home with a beer and a cigarette and smoke. Whereas if you decide to go to the pub, you know, when you want a cigarette, you've got to stand outside, you've got to get cold, I mean, UK, it rains a lot, so you get wet, and it's generally not a pleasant experience. So people think, well, why should I bother? So lots of them have closed down. And I just wanted to capture, photographically, some of these pubs that I went to. And the other night, Suzanne said, well, do you fancy going out taking a photograph for an hour or two? And I thought, yes. And I thought, right, let's give myself this little mini project. So I grabbed my camera, the 350D digital Rebel XT, and I just had the two lenses. I had the 18-55 and the 55-200, and I just drove to all the pubs I could think of that had a beer in, whenever that had shut down. And I must admit, to start off with, I was probably a little bit intimidated because I hadn't done that much in inverted commas street photography in Gosport. Although I wasn't going after people, I was in the urban environment, where I assume that people aren't expecting someone to be walking around with a big black camera taking photographs. You know, when I'm down the beach in the sunset, or I'm walking around the wooded areas of Gosport, you know, the picturesque places, you can understand, you know, you would think that when people see you with a camera, they go, oh, right, yeah, he's taking a landscape picture, or he's taking a picture of that sunset, maybe he's looking for some wildlife, or this sort of stuff. But when you're walking around the streets taking pictures of buildings, especially buildings that now aren't public houses, and maybe they're even people's normal houses now, because they've been converted into flats and the like, I just think that people might see it as a suspicious activity. Now, maybe that's in, you know, inside me, and it's my nervousness or lack of confidence. But I did, you know, when I parked up at the first one, and luckily at the first pub I went to was the first pub I went to we live in a place called Elson Village, but it's not really a village, it's just one huge town now, that all the villages have joined together. But it was a place called the Military Arms, or it used to be the Military Arms, and then it turned into the Jack in the Bush, and it's all boarded up now. So I just came out of a house, strolled down to there, and took a few photographs. And that didn't feel too bad. There wasn't many people around. But then I jumped in the car and went down the end of Eastbourne Avenue, and there was two pubs there, one called the Wheat Sheaf and one called the Artillery Arms. I especially remember the Artillery Arms, because it was a really small pub, but they used to have live bands in there. So it used to be really noisy, really hot and sweaty. But anyway, but that was a bit odd, because there was loads and loads of cars driving past. Loads and loads, dozens and dozens and dozens. And I was sort of standing there with a big camera taking pictures. You know, I really wanted to be in and out. There's people walking along the sidewalk, the pavement, and it definitely felt a little bit uncomfortable. But then I drove down to, where did I go next? A pub called I'm pretty sure I got the right name, it was the White Swan, which didn't go in that often. It was like when you were doing a pub crawl, which was a walk around the town visiting lots of different pubs to get really sloshed. That was kind of a halfway house that you'd nip into, have a quick beer, and then move on. And that one was quite strange, actually, because I got parked up outside it, walked to the road to get an angle of the pub, took a few pictures, and as I was taking a picture, this guy turned on his bicycle and then went to go in the door that was on the side of it, and he kind of looked at me and like, what are you doing? But I just said, hiya, how you doing? He said, alright. I said, yeah, I'm just taking some pictures of some pubs, so I used to drink in it. And that led into a conversation where he was saying, oh yeah, you know, my girlfriend used to run this place. And I was like, oh right, really? We had a bit of a chat, and he obviously realised that I was just like some amateur photographer. And then I jumped in my car, I went to a pub called the Wiltshire Lamb, which doesn't look, if you look at the set of pictures that I'll link to in the show notes at roblandphoto.com, doesn't look like a pub anymore at all. I think even all the signs have gone. But that was I remember that being a great pub, because they had a separate room for the snooker table. And it was almost like you'd get in there, pile up your pound coins and all the 50p's on the snooker table, and you could stay in there all night just shooting pool and drinking beer and smoking cigarettes, and it was very good. But the Wiltshire Lamb actually got hit. It's on a corner, and a car drove. It was famous for cars driving into it for some reason. And then eventually it shut down, and it's been turned into flats now. And then there was another pub, which is called the King's Head, which popped in occasionally. And that one's now like a grocery store. It's a spa, which is like a mini supermarket that sells all sorts of stuff. I don't think it's going to do very well, because it looks like they've been forced to keep the original exterior with all the glazed tiles, and so it doesn't actually look like a convenience store from the outside. It still looks like a pub. But there we go. But it's happened to a few pubs around there. So that was quite good. And when I'd finished with that, I went down to the seafront just to take some pictures of Spinnaker Tower and try out the wide-angle lens. But they're not really definitive, so I didn't put. I think I put one up actually on my Flickr photos room, which is a picture of the tall flats down at the harbour. And you could, I've just in the description you can see I've put wide angle converter, and I've put, you know, clearly you can see the vignette on it that way as well. But there we go. That was like a mini photo project I did in an evening. It might have even been a Sunday night, and I think I started at like 5 o'clock, and it was, I'd done it in a couple of hours. I was in the car, so it was easier to zoom It was easy to zoom from location to location, but again, it gave me a few more shots from my photographs taken around Gosport in 2011 portfolio, which is starting to build up quite nicely, which hopefully by the end of the year I'll have enough images to make a photo book out of, which I can then, you know, keep and enjoy that way. So, you know, if you're stuck for ideas for photography, make a list of shots that you want to take, and times as well, that maybe you want to revisit these places at different times. But then also maybe a real simple mini project, because I was really pleased I went out and took those. I probably took about 30 photographs of 4 or 5 different locations, and it was really good just to go out there, take them, process them, and do it that way. Now, another thing that I thought I'd mention quickly at the end of the podcast was, you may or may not know that I use Squarespace as the hosting for the website over at robnanphoto.com. They're the guys that store the website, and their software is how I edit the website as well. Super secure, really reasonably cheap. But they've also finally now got an Android app. They've had an Apple iPhone, iPad app for a long time, well over a year, but they never had an Android one. But they've got an Android one now, which means that I can instantly put posts up on robnanphoto.com from my phone. So what you'll probably see over on robnanphoto.com, and if you subscribe to the emails or the RSS, you'll find fit pictures that I've taken with my phone with a little bit of text being uploaded. I've done a couple already, but the picture quality isn't that great on the photos because the photo editing app I use is called Vignette. Excellent. If you've got Android, you know, go to the Android marketplace and buy the Vignette app. It's really good. It's got some nice filmy presets, and you can play around with frames, and you can make Polaroid-looking images, all sorts of stuff. And I really like the black and white conversion and a few of the others. But one of the things you've got to do is buy the paid one, because what you can then do is you can have high-resolution photos. So, for example, my phone can take pictures at 5 megapixels. But the standard, when you install it, is just, I think it's 0.3 megapixels or something like that. They're really small, and you've got to remember to go in when you first open it up and tap on the screen near the bottom and then change it to, in my case, 5 megapixels and change it to fine on the save setting as well. And that way you'll avoid getting strange artifacts. So if you go over to robnanphoto.com and see those two pictures, I think one is a picture of a building with a tree next to it, and the other one is another building that's got an unusual name, chiropractors, you'll see that they look a little bit odd. There's something not quite right about them. They look over-sharpened, and there's some artifacting in the sky. I don't think that's anything to do with my phone. It's the fact that I use Vignette to edit them, but it saved the images very, very small, and then I think when I uploaded them to Squarespace has stretched them to make them the size they need to be, and the image quality is now degraded. But spotting that, I've now changed the setting in Vignette, so it will save at 5 megapixels. So hopefully when I upload future images and posts to robnanphoto.com using the Squarespace mobile app, the image quality should be significantly better. Well, I think I've been rambling on enough for this week. Next week I'll be talking about the photo assignment we've just done, and choosing the new photo assignment for this month now, for October. But if, you know, a final thing, if you've got any more photos to do with, I think it was my town, go over to the robnanphoto.com Flickr group. Again, you'll find the notes, the link to that over on robnanphoto.com, or just search Flickr for robnanphoto.com. And also there's a little thread there near the top where you can put your ideas for what our next photo assignment should be, and I'll pick one randomly next week for us all to crack on with in October. Okay, so that's enough from me. My name's Rob from robnanphoto.com. That's RobNunphoto.com. Remember, you can email me, scalespeeder@gmail.com. That's scalespeeder@gmail.com. Or you can visit robnanphoto.com, type in any of the comments boxes, and they'll come to me as well. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to the podcast. And hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Flickr.